Hey y'all, welcome to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. On today's episode, episode 11, so I feel like this is actually so special because 11 was my number in school. And yep. Then we have one of my most favorite people on the planet on our podcast today. So with us is Alana Marie Alameda, or Lonnie Alameda, as we more typically refer to her, or aka Coacha. Coacha is in her 16th season at Florida State, and a little bit about her background and resume is she was inducted into the NFCA Hall of Fame in 2023. She is a six-time ACC Coach of the Year, 2018 national champion, two-time national runner-up in the Women's College World Series, a previous professional coach in the MPF. She coached the Canadian national team. She was the head coach at UNLV, assistant at Stanford. The list goes on and on. And just one of the greatest people on the planet. So, Coach, thank you for joining us first and foremost.
Well, thank you for having me. I've been wondering when am I going to be a part of this fun little episode that you guys put on social media. So I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Good, good. We're so excited. But before we get into anything specifically, I just want to ask a little more general question of just Tallahassee, your time in Tallahassee there now for 16 years. I feel like it's been a ride. So tell us a little bit about the journey for you in Florida.
Yeah, I think coming here wasn't honestly, I was pretty happy at UNLV. And at the time I was getting ready to go with Team Canada over to the Olympics in China. And so the timing, which, you know, there's never good timing for leaving anywhere or going to a new spot. Like, it's just a, you know, an opportunity to come see what Florida State had to offer. And so I literally flew in the morning and was leaving at night because we had such a busy schedule and had to go train in, you know, got the opportunity to go train in Japan before the Olympics. And it wasn't 15 minutes walking on campus and just meeting the people that I was like, man, this place is just family. It's comfortable. It's home. So I've just been living that for 16 years and I love it and it hasn't changed. And, you know, I don't feel like it's 16 years when I say that. I'm like, wait, whoa, that's a long time. But I'm so glad that it's like that because it just means that, you know, you're just really into every single day and the opportunities you have to help grow young women and be a part of it. So yeah, it's been a ride, like you said, but I've really enjoyed it.
Coach, when being around Alex, she always talks about the culture at Florida State and just watching your team. You know, as an outsider, that there's just this special culture. Could you talk about what that culture is and how you continue to have it there every year with new group of girls?
Yeah, you know, I think culture's been a buzzword, you know, as of late. Mm-hmm. It's probably the last 3 years everyone talks about culture and it's become a buzzword. But to me, it's just who you are and what you do. You know, I think about when I think about, you know, I love to travel and I love traveling because I like to see the culture of other countries and the way people live. And so, you know, when you go to a Japan or you go to Europe or you go to places and you're like, wow, it's so cool. Like in Europe, the sun comes out and everyone just shuts down and goes and enjoys the day. Like that culture is so cool, you know, and it's just the way people live. And so I think for us, it's just, we are who we are. We're not any different when it comes to practice, games, recruiting. Like we are who we are. And I can't imagine trying to do something different. Like we are goofy. We are, you know, it's just like, it's very, I don't know, genuine, I guess, you know, and just real. And I just, I know a lot of coaches ask a lot of times, especially young coaches, like, you know, what's your advice, you know, on coaching? And I'm like, just generally be you, because when you can be you, which to me, I tell, like, I fail a lot, you know, I'm not, people like, oh man, commitment to excellence. I'm like, I'm not excellent, like by any means, like, but I am who I am. I'm going to love you. I love the game. I love being here. And so I think that's our culture. It's just very simple in a way. And so, you know, which allows our players to be pretty comfortable. So I would say that we just, we are who we are here and yeah, really enjoy them growing up in that environment.
Do you think like that's always been kind of something that you have found to be your thought process and the messaging of culture, especially through your time in Tallahassee? Of course, you can go back throughout your whole experience in career coaching. But just do you think that's always been the way you've approached culture the last 16 years alone in Florida?
Yeah, I would say I never really knew culture was a thing. You know, you just don't know until you get later into your coaching career, do you realize what your coaching career was? Like, you know, in the beginning, you're just trying to figure out, am I doing it right? You know, and the only way you know that is one, you're graded by the wins and losses at the end of the season. And then, you know, how you feel at the end of the season. And there's been times as a coach in Vegas or even at Stanford, and you get to the end of the season and you reflect on it and you're like, okay, like we did pretty well on the transactional side, but man, I'm a transformational person. I love watching the growth of people. And so when you get into that moment of like, where's the connection at the end of the season? Like how tight were we as a team at the end of the season? Because to me, that is a skill set also that plays at a high level. So when you look at the transactional side of it, where are the wins and losses, and then how tight were we as a team can contribute to the wins and losses. And so I think reflecting on those things as I was growing up as a coach, I really poured into both those as we developed throughout the season, because it's really important to be really tight towards the end of the season. And so didn't know that was a thing, but definitely know that that's how I wanted to feel at the end of the season, is whether we go down, you know, with the loss and don't make it to the ultimate goal of Oklahoma City. I really feel like we gave our all and we love each other at the end of it, you know, and that's really important to me. And so lessons learned every year to be a better leader for the team, and then to make sure that our returners give that fuel to the team to really be connected at the end of the season, because they know that feeling also.
You mentioned growth. I feel like every year when I'm watching your team, you are not the same team in February as you are in April and May. And I think it's the same thing this season too. I mean, there are some games early in the season, people start talking, you get the noise, but here you are first place in the ACC, controlling your own destiny. How do you develop your players in season, and how do you keep them focused on the ultimate goal when early in the year they're taking some big beatings and you've got a pretty young pitching staff and team? How do you keep them focused?
I think it's really important to be real with individual players and the team. So at the beginning of the year, you know, we meet a lot in the classroom during the weeks and spend a lot of time on our process and what that process looks. And we're so fortunate to have 60 games, you know, like a lot of sports maybe have 12, or, you know, and like we get opportunity to grow through the testing. So you practice, you get a test, you practice, you get a test, you know, and the feedback from the games can make you better. So when we set out the beginning of the year and we're like, hey, this is our strength and this is what I expect to show up, this is the area that needs to grow, and we're going to have to grow in big moments in front of a lot of people. So let's make sure that this classroom loves each other, because the outside world is going to judge you. The social media world is going to judge you. Your parents are going to say things just because they're not here every day, you know? So the people that you love the most and respect the most are going to ask questions. So let's be real right now on our expectations in here right now. So when things happen, we know that we're getting better. And even though out there, they're like, oh, you know, like the pitching's not there, this is not there. But man, if we can keep building our bricks, small bricks at a time, we'll start to gain some trust in each other and then have the opportunity. And I don't know what that looks like at the end of the year, but as long as we can trust that. And I, you know, I think Ashton Danley's been outstanding in that. Like she's, you know, she was tears, glossy eyed. I don't know if I can do it. Oh, I can do it. Oh, this is exciting. I'm having fun, you know? And it's like, that's to me what's so inspiring as a coach, is to see that. And she's got so much more in her, which is awesome. But like, she's like made it through that valley of despair of like, man, I don't know where I'm going, to like, ooh, I can start to feel that bounce up and just really enjoying it, you know, just truly enjoying it. So I think the honesty, you know, we don't shy away from the honesty. We have these moments where we watch games, you know, and I think it's like, you know, we call it Tell the Truth Tuesday. Like you watch the game, be like, okay, like, what didn't we do well? And we just really talk about like, man, I could have had a better at bat here. Like I was mentally out of it, or man, I should have thrown the ball here, I should have done this. And we really talk about the things that we like we're not good at in the game that we can get better at, that we can hold each other accountable to out there, you know? And then, you know, we end it with like, oh, I'm so glad to be here, you know, I'm so glad to keep growing. So we kind of make it fun. So yeah, I think that just real growth approach.
That's cool. So you talk about like social media. I know you specifically mentioned that. You talk about external factors. And I think it's crazy because I forget sometimes that in my senior year, 2017, the whole, and Britt probably doesn't know this because I've never told her, but the whole season, Britt, our team decided to give up social media. I can't even imagine the athletes doing that in today's day and age because of simple things like NIL, let alone anything else, connectivity and just where social media is now versus then. But Coach, how has social media, external factors, the pressure of visibility affected today's athlete?
Yeah, it's huge. I don't even know how much it affects them, because I think it's just ingrained in them in high school now. Like, it's just such a, everything has to be perfect world. And then we play a sport that not everything's perfect. And so I don't shy away from it. I know the comments are out there. We talk about the comments a lot, you know, like I'll go back through and, you know, I try to be very fun. You know, I realize that they're being judged on a lot of things, but if we could get into the post and like, what does this mean? And really like dig into like, that doesn't define you, you know, like, I do think the sport defines us a little bit. Like, softball defines you, Britt and Alex, mm-hmm. right? You guys are competitive. You wanted to be good. Like, it defines you in so many things that why we signed up for it. It doesn't define you in people judging you because they're on the outside of it, you know? So we try to separate those two things. Like, you're not a horrible softball player from, you know, Alex PC, you know, at Blue Devils. I don't know what, you know what I mean? Like, these people that comment, like, they don't even know. And so we just try to make light of it, fun of it, you know? But yeah, I just, it's a tough world. People are mean. I'm getting more emails as a coach now. So my social media, like, I get emails as a coach of how bad I'm as a coach, like the decisions I make. And I always respond because I think, you know, like, awesome. Like, you think I'm, you know, like, I love that you're watching the game. A, that's great. You know, B, like, we work really hard. So just let you know that we work really hard and we'll get better at it. You know, like, you know, and I just think that people feel like they have a voice and an opinion nowadays, but that doesn't affect me as the person that's going on trying to be the best version of myself today. And that's what we try to talk about with these kids. It's crazy.
It is crazy. I think just the growth of our sport too, the more people are talking about it, it's always a good thing, but then it always comes with that negative. And Coach, when do you get to practice actual softball? It sounds like you have a lot of conversations with your girls. Yeah. But so you talk about doing your best every day, day in and day out. And one of my favorite things I think you've really started in softball is using a pitching staff, and you're so good at finding where pitchers fit best. We saw it last year with Kat Sandercock, you know, not starting, but being in relief. And what do you look for in pitchers to kind of put the pieces together and put them in the situation where they're going to be their best?
I mean, I think that it's really awesome. Our game has gotten into analytics, right? Like, we're all jumping in analytics. We all really don't know a ton about it. We're still like messing with it. So I always say I'm messing with it. I don't know a ton about it, but I'm messing with it a little bit. And then just, you know, these hack attacks now, right? So you throw the analytics in there, you know, the measurements of the pitchers, and now you have 3 days dialed that into the machine and you're facing that pitcher over and over again, you know? So like, and you know, our pitchers sit in the scouting meetings and our pitchers see what's going on. So they know what other teams are doing, you know? So, but you know, good pitching still beats good hitting. And I think that when you look at the averages, you go out there, you walk out as a pitcher, you're already winning, right? So like, if you can take the things that give you a sense of confidence in the game, and now if you can execute the pitches that we need to execute in the moments, are really big for us. And so we talk as a pitching staff, like, we have pitchers on our staff that can bring a curveball, a rise ball, a drop ball, a velocity, a changeup. Like, we have a staff that can neutralize the offense that we're going against, right? And then when it becomes me versus you, now it goes against confidence. Like, me versus Alex right now. Like, is Alex thinking I'm going to change up, or am I going fastball? Can I just get her thinking a little bit right now? And if I can get her thinking, then I've got her beat, you know? And it's like if we can really tap into like me versus you and competitive nature. So we educate them on what they got. And then we really work on how to pitch. Like, where do you want this ball to go? What do you want to do? Do you want a double play ball? Do you want to strike out? Do you want, you know? So when you like get that next level of like, and Kat was so good at it, you know, she got really good at like knowing exactly where she wanted the ball to go to. She could command the zone. That took 4 years for her to get to. So I've got to have a little grace for these younger pitchers going on right now to like, oh, it's going to take time for them to learn that. But when they learn it, now you can move those pieces of the puzzle around and it becomes so much fun and they have fun doing it. So I think that's been fun about the analytics part is like, now I know why I'm good. And now I know how I match up against other people.
Love it. Yeah. When I get to go and call games, Britt, like, I'm, I always get to ask Coach questions when I do see her at the field, because not at the house, but at the field, because of just how much information they have, how they study the game. And obviously, I'm sure a lot of coaches do that, but obviously we don't get the platform to be able to have those conversations. So I feel very blessed to be able to continue learning as well from our side. But Coach, let's go broader scope now on the growth of the ACC and the conference as a whole. You've got 9 ACC tournament championships. But winning a tournament championship now looks a little different and harder than it may have been 12, 15 years ago. So what has it been like to witness the growth of the conference?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think, you know, before we had to have a really competitive, you live this, Alex, like we had to have a really competitive pre-conference schedule to give us a chance. Like there was no respect given for our conference, no respect for us, you know, for a long time because we played in the ACC. And there was times where I think we had some of the best pitchers in the country, but they were in the ACC, but they prepped us as a team. So then we were able to make some runs at the World Series. We may not have the most complete conference or maybe most complete teams, but we had some really good pitchers. We had some really good players that we were competing against in our conference. And now, and I don't know if it's true or not, but for us to win a national championship, I feel like the ACC is like, oh, they can do it. We can do it. You know, and then you got people building stadiums and getting after. I think UVA stadium's awesome. Clemson's awesome. Duke's killing it. Like, it's so cool. Vautech just leveled up, even though they've been good in the past, but they've leveled up for sure. And so now you're going to stadiums. They have lots of fans at the stadiums. They're getting after it. They care. They still have pitching. Now they have a lot of hitting. And there's just like this really cool pride in the ACC. And it's just, it's been really fun to be a part of that. And I know when I was at Stanford in the pack, and like, we didn't win one game when I was there at Stanford, when I started, to eventually winning, going to the World Series. So being part of that growth in a very legendary conference, the pack was, I mean, UCLA, Cal, Arizona, it like just let Washington, Oregon, like awesome, right? Games. And then we finally like dig through that conference and figure out, get some respect and go to the World Series. Like, there was lots of pride in that. And I am feeling that in the ACC right now, right? You know, come in and we just have tons of pride for each other. And it's just really, really cool. And our sport is so good right now. Like, our game is so good. It's so fun. It's defensive. It's athletic. We run bases. There's strategy. Like, it is a lot of fun. So I think the ACC is fun, but the whole coast to coast right now, it's awesome.
Talking coast to coast, what's your thought on Stanford coming into the conference next year? That's got to be kind of exciting for you personally, but this whole realignment thing, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, lots of thoughts. I'm not at the big table, so I don't know what's really going on. Yeah, selfishly from California, super cool. Be able to see my family. Yeah. That's very selfish. But I think Cal is an amazing program. Stanford's an amazing program. So, you know, really cool for one, the ability to play high level softball with those two teams. The experience for all of us to go out to the Bay Area, awesome. Like, you know, just the student athlete experience of traveling is super cool too. So I think that's awesome. I really like, I feel for those kids having to come this way all the time, you know, but I know that's been talked about a ton. It is what it is. They'll figure out that part of it. But again, the game's growing and it's growing from football and sprinkling all the way down to us. And we're along for the ride. And, you know, I think the sport of softball will make it the greatest they can make it, because we've always done that. So, yeah, so really excited for that.
Yeah, I think those two teams are definitely going to elevate the competition. It's going to be weird having them there, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, good stuff. Britt, I like to coin myself as the biggest Lonnie Alameda fan in the history of the world. But I feel like the one person that may have me beat is her brother, Aaron. So I feel like he will be at all those games, like, whenever possible. So I still get messages from Aaron a lot of just like, oh, hey, AP, like, glad to see you doing so great. So he's a huge softball fan.
He is. Yes.
Coach's probably, family.
For sure, getting after it, yes.
No doubt, no doubt. But so you mentioned national championship and kind of just what it meant, one, for you guys a little bit, as well as the ACC as a whole. And it kind of just put it, the visibility. We talk so much about visibility of the sport in general, but it also kind of, I feel like, allowed other people to say, hey, Florida State did it, we can do it too. So what did 2018 mean to you, to the program, to everybody around you?
Yeah, you know, I think for a long time, I was told that we couldn't do it here, you know, and even like you know, you hear like the whole SEC best softball conference in the country, this and that. And, you know, it's like you're always going up against, you know, uphill, right? And so I think when you walk into Oklahoma City and you go into the Hall of Fame stadium and you go into the museum, like there's flag flying of conferences. There's the Hall of Fame museum has the winners, you know, and it has the conference plus, you know, the Gators has this, you know, and Michigan, Big Ten. And now the ACC logo's there and Florida State, and Florida State's flying and people can see that. So those little things matter. They really matter. And for me, amazing schools in our conference, like academic schools in our conference. And now like it's saying that you can go get a really good degree and you can compete at a high level and have the opportunity to play for your dream. And so that was, I think, what's really important is we opened up the doors for a lot of other young women to go to school and be competitive, and their administration's supporting them and the stadiums are supporting them. And for young girls to grow up and have this ability to play in any state coast to coast and get after it, I think is awesome. And Michigan did that for cold weather schools, you know, which was, again, super cool because everyone's like, well, you can't win the cold weather schools. Well, now you can, you know, and they're supporting it. So it's just really good for the growth for young girls to see that.
You know, it's so hard to win a national championship, to be number one, but to maintain the level of excellence you have at Florida State, what would you say is some of those keys to stay so consistently at the top?
I mean, you have to really rely on your core values for sure. You know, I think what gets you there, the climb of it is awesome and the journey's awesome. And then you get there and you're like, oh, so cool. And then the expectation is staying there. And that's way tougher, you know? So I think your fan base, people like everyone's like, oh, well, they're here and they should be here all the time, you know? So like even this year, like at the beginning of the year, everyone's like, oh, down year, you know, oh, like I see you guys are struggling and that really sucks. And I'm like, whoa, wait, the season's not over. Like, yeah, you know, but they expect you to be there all the time. So to me, your freshmen come in and they're like, oh man, we've let everyone down. Like we're not what Florida State would be. And I'm like, oh, that's not it. So to me, it's every season is a completely different team, completely different sketch. Like, and then how are we going to build this team? So we can have information from your returning players, but the ability of the returning players to be like, man, we are team 41 right now. I don't know what's ahead of us, but let's get after it and see what we can do at the end of the year versus relying on, oh, the team's always won, we'll win. You know, like that's a totally different vibe. So we've just really got into like, okay, what do we need to do September? What do we need to do October? What do we need in November? How do we keep growing? How do we keep building? And just really relying on the foundation of our core values to keep pushing us.
That's good. Coach Ed, do you have any key moments or learning experiences that you feel like flipped the script in your mind as a coach, just about the way you view the game or the outcome or the season or anything like that? Does anything in particular stand out to you?
Lots of things. Yeah. I'll say one season, I think 2017, just really stood out, because to me that team did everything possible. You know, just the committing to each other. I mean, just all in for each other, all in for the, like they lived the line. Here's the standard and we're above it. And we lived it every single one. Like it's pretty rare to be on a team that everybody is in and for it. And we ended up losing. So like at the end of the year, I'm like, man, like as a coach, you're like, you know, drink water every day, go to sleep by 8, stretch in the morning, eat an apple, do this, you know? And they're like, okay. You know? And like you ask that of your players and then you don't get the end result. So then you're looking at your players and they're just like devastated. And you're like, God, your heart for them. Right. And then you're like, man, did I give them all the right mixtures? But then in 2018 winning it, if we didn't have 2017, we wouldn't have had 2018, you know? And it was like, hey, it is right. Like if you just stay the course, you're not guaranteed to win, but if you stay the course, your foundation and your values will eventually keep you successful and give you the opportunity. That was a big learning lesson. Cause at the end of 2017, I was devastated. Like, man, did I ask them to do all this? And it wasn't the right keys to success, you know? And so that was a big one for me for sure. And then I just think too, just staying calm in the moment. Someone told me when a police officer with dog training, what goes down the leash comes up the leash, you know? So if from the top, like if I'm freaking out about the moment, the dog's going to freak out, right? So like if you can just stay the course through the journey of a season and just be calm in moments of craziness, like your team can get through it. And those are like two things that kind of always stuck with me.
Yeah, you say that. And before you got on, I was talking to Alex and I was like, is Coach always just so chill? And she was like, yeah, like, I'm like all the time. She's like, yeah. I'm like, how? That is so impressive. Like,
even if even if she's chewing you out, she's chill. Just so you know. Like, I was like, I think, you know, I got to talk him to like a time or two, and she was still chill, but
that's even scarier. That's even scarier. I terrifying. Tell you what. Oh, let's talk about your team coming up towards, you know, getting to postseason. What are you liking right now? What you're seeing, and where do you need to go?
Yeah, just been super impressed by our freshman class. They just have just been so consistent. And I think that's a lot to do with our upperclassmen. They've given them the window to have a voice and to feel comfortable and have grown, you know, quite quickly. I really like, you know, Danley, our pitching staff is starting to put it together. So we are who we are. We may not be the strikeout people. We may not, but we're figuring out how to manage our games and give us a chance because our offense has been so good. Like, our, you know, our offense is really like set the tone from the first inning, you know, and I think Mudge does a good job of that in the leadoff. Like, she has really quality at bats. And I know a lot of the players are just bought into like hitting the ball hard and having quality takeaway pitches, like just quality at bats and not results, where results in the past have really gotten to us. And now we've just been about process, and offensively that's been really good consistently for us. And so making some big plays defensively, you know, has been huge. We as a coaching staff figured out how to manage a lineup a little bit better, getting some defensive players in and some key hitters off the bench. Of course, Edenfield and Kaylee Harding got hit this weekend, so she was out. So, you know, you're trying to manage the injury bug a little bit, and trying to figure out how to make that management to keep everyone healthy down the line here is going to be a big one for us. But I would say right now I'm just most impressed with our chemistry. We've really come together. It's been a lot of tough talks this year, and we've really come together, and I'm just really, they're having fun right now, and I'm just really liking that part of it.
That's good. I know, Britt, you wanted to just ask a question about, I feel like, roster management, given some of those keys. Do you want to get into that real quick?
Yeah, when I think Michaela was having the best season of her career. I mean, in the past, she's always come up big, big moments, always been so clutch, a lot of home runs. But this year, she was just so consistent in the box and really looking like she was loving playing each and every day. So she goes out. How has it been for her? Where is she at in her recovery? And how has the team rallied?
Yeah, I think our other two catchers, Katie Deck and Maddie Fry, again, you know, being that backup position sometimes can be really tough, but like, again, they take really good conversations. They understand it. They see the big picture. I know Maddie Fry, you know, we have conversations over and over about, you know, catching, like, what if something happens? Are you training every day to be the one catching? And, you know, it clicked for her, and she's just been a joy this year out there at practice every day. And now all of a sudden, unfortunately, I don't know if I spoke into existence, but it shows up and she's been great. Her connection with the pitchers is great. Like, you know, this, like the timeouts, like huge, right? To go out and talk to the pitcher. Like, there's just so many moments that you need that maturity as a catcher to go out and just unite everyone. And Maddie's been great at that. And Katie Dax works her tail off. She obviously offensively can get after it and does some really good things. And then she's worked her tail off behind the dish also. So now we have two catchers that can get out there and do things for us. And they bring something both unique to it. But they never gave up in practice to not push Michaela or to be the best version. And Michaela never, she would always tell them, like, you know, like, push me and get, make me better. And so that's just another really cool story to tell down the line of like, man, you just never know when your number is going to be called. And look at these two, they're ready and they're ready to contribute right away. So Michaela's feeling it, you know, she wants to be out there with the team. She got her stitches out today. She's as strong as they come. So I'd imagine she'll be swinging the bat tomorrow. That's just how Michaela is. So we'll see what that leads to, you know, and what that's like. But she's been great. You know, she's been great. She understands it's a moment of frustration that got to her. And that's something that, you know, a lot of people deal with in athletics, and a lot of people judge on the outside. And we've talked a lot about who cares about the judgment. We know she's been a team player this year. She's been outstanding. And so she's, you know, assumed the responsibility of what happened. And now she's just going to move forward and be the best she can.
Yeah, I feel like that's all you can do sometimes when crappy stuff happens. So glad to know that she's doing better and recovering, and that the team has definitely rallied around her. So, Coach, just last question, any final thoughts or anything that you want to share about Florida State, the program, the culture, your experience? Anything.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, we covered a lot. You two have to be pretty happy being ACC people, like, you know, just covering it. I think it's really cool. And I was talking about this with our coaches the other day, just how many of softball players have gotten into sport and now covering sport. So people are hearing from the other side of it, you know, and I think that's another area of our sport growing is people that played it are not just coaching it. They're supporting it from the outside on the media side and, you know, giving like genuine good insight to the game, which will help grow the game. So thank you for doing what you guys do. It's pretty awesome. And it's always good to hear that the growth of the game is happening on all areas for us.
Definitely. I feel like live the dream, getting to be a part of it still, how we do. Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us. I can't say enough good things about you. Brittany knows how much you and the program mean to me because I really do believe Carded in Gold. Like anybody that knows me knows that I'm quite literally obsessed. So coach, it was only a matter of time before we had you on the podcast. Just gotta, you know, like set the stage a little bit because, you know, sometimes you save some of the best for last. But we appreciate you, Coach, and thank you for everything that you're doing for the program, obviously the sport of softball, and of course the ACC. So it was our pleasure, specifically my pleasure, to have you on this week. So love you lots, and thank you everybody for joining us.
Thank you guys. Love you too.
Thanks, Coach.
Bye. Bye.